is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend the semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time. Lord, I do pray that as we enjoy this food and celebrate Addie's birthday, Lord, we can also celebrate what you've done for us, Lord, and how you changed our hearts. You have called us to be more like your Son, and we ask that as we look at our jealousy and our envy tonight, that you would remind us of our need of you and how we need to be content with you, Lord. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about jealousy and envy tonight. I want to share an illustration that a guy named D.L. Moody shared a while back, and he says, there's a story about an eagle who was jealous of his fellow eagle, okay? And he could not outfly his friend. He could not match him in his speed, and he really didn't like it. So this jealous eagle saw a hunter one day and was talking to the hunter and said, hey, do you mind taking this guy out for me? He said, I wish you would bring down my friend here just so I can beat him in a race. And all the hunter required was just one feather. And he said, if you give me one feather, I can make an arrow that'll fly and hit your friend. So he gives him, pulls out a feather out of his butt, makes an arrow, and the hunter misses. Okay, and the eagle is so wrapped up in his jealousy that he's just like, well, just take another, take another. And he keeps giving him all these feathers to the point where he has no feathers and he can't fly, and the hunter kills him and eats him. Okay, jealousy can make us do very stupid things. Okay, jealousy can make us do very dumb things. Jealousy can make us do very irrational things. So tonight, I want us to look at how jealousy and envy will promise you a lot, but they always end up hurting you in the end. Okay? They do a lot of self-damage. So let's break into some groups here. Austin, count us off. 1, 3. All right. So why don't we begin by looking at how jealousy and envy work. And we're going to flip to 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'd appreciate it if somebody from group 1 would read 6 to 16 for us. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6 to 16. Go ahead.
As they were coming home, David returned to the woman came out of all the sons of Israel, with tambourine, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the woman sang to one another as they celebrated. Saul has struck down his sound, and David has sent down. And Saul was very offended, that they have struck David to come, and to me they have ascribed value. And what more can you have but the kingdom? And Saul hired David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing a lyre. As he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand. Then Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before.
Okay, thank you, Jack. Okay, so how would you guys define jealousy? You had to put it into words.
If someone had something that you wanted, and you let that take over you, okay. And, like, it's an emotion.
Okay, it is an emotion, that is correct. Envious of someone's achievements. Hey, being envious of someone's achievements. Okay, Gideon.
If you have a person A who is content, and a person B who is discontent, the discontentedness of person B sort of wants that person to want the contentedness, and it draws them to envy and jealousy. Person A who has the contentedness.
Oh, that's a really, really good definition. Okay, while both words can be used synonymously, they actually are very different in some senses, okay? And here's how. Jealousy often refers to the fear associated with losing something that you have. So you're jealous that somebody might take something from you, whether it's a relationship, a physical object, money. And that's why God gets jealous in the Bible, because he doesn't want anyone to take their eyes off of him, because he's the one that is to be worshipped. Okay, and envy is that feeling that you have when Aiden's playing with his Rolex watch over there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, I want that Rolex. Okay, wow. And that's envy. It's a sense of discontentment, disgust, that somebody else has something that you want. Okay. So what do you think Paul is struggling with here? Is he struggling with jealousy or envy?
Both.
Or both? Why both?
Because he's a messed up
dude. He's
because he's a messed up dude.
I mean, he wants the love of the people that David has. Mm-hmm. He's also worried that David is going to like sin more and take his position, kind of.
Yeah, so he is struggling with both. He's jealous because he has the kingship. He has the power, right? He's the one that's technically in control. But is David a threat to him?
Yeah,
David is a big threat. David could come in and take over, and Saul is jealous of that. Hey, but he's also envious. What is he envious of?
Like how the people love David.
So the people are doing what? These women in this passage, what are they doing, group one? Yeah, they're singing about David and Saul. And what do they say about Saul compared to what do they say about David?
That David is better than Saul.
Essentially. Okay, how so?
Messing with
people. Okay. Yeah, so they're talking about their achievements, okay? And Saul is looking at his puny little amount that they're singing about, and then David gets sung about tens of thousands, okay? Can you imagine how that would make Saul feel? Like, he's like, well, hey, who am I, okay? What about me? So he's fearing losing the praises of the people. He's fearing losing the hearts of the people because the people really do love David. Okay, so he's envious in the sense that he wants that recognition turned back to himself and not on David. So what does Saul's emotion lead him to do here? His envy and his jealousy.
Throws a spear at David.
Yeah, he throws a spear at him. Okay, not just once, but twice. Obviously, that's not a good reaction to our jealousy. If we try to kill everybody that we're jealous of or envious of, that's not going to end well for anyone. But that's how his emotion worked in his heart. Okay. And I actually find this, like, somewhat comical. Like, he's throwing spears at David, and it's almost like David's oblivious to it. It's like, you know, David, like, bends over to tie his shoe, and a spear goes over him. Or, like, he goes down to pick up a coin, and another spear goes flying over him.
That's his lucky
day. Yeah, it's a good day for David. But Saul is so jealous and envious that he's willing to kill somebody over it. That's an extreme way, but that's how jealousy and envy work in our hearts. It causes anger, causes frustration, and causes hatred that we can have towards others. So, long story short, Saul's emotion lead him to devalue life. And to say, David is not worth living because I want what he has. It's all for the sake of selfish gain. And that's where jealousy and envy take us. It takes us to a very selfish place. It takes us to a deep, dark place in our hearts where we are only thinking about what we want as opposed to what God wants. He's jealous of what David can take from him, and he envies what David has. Okay, and in the end, it's only going to bring a lot of trouble on who? On Saul. Okay. All right, so group two. Let's look at where jealousy and envy lead towards. Let's somebody from group two read James 3:13-18. Thanks, Nate.
Who is wise and standing among you? For his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to the reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Thank you. What would be some examples of things that cause us to have selfish, bitter ambition in our hearts? What would be some situations or some actions that somebody might have done that could cause you to be bitter and angry to the point where you would be jealous or envious
when
towards them?
One
at a time. Josh.
When your friend finds diamonds in Minecraft and he throws them in the lava.
Okay, so when your friend finds diamonds in Minecraft and throws them in the lava.
Boy.
Okay, what else? What would be another, maybe a better example? A what?
When someone gets a promotion.
Yeah, okay, so say you're working a job and someone gets a promotion. Maybe you feel like they didn't deserve it, and maybe you did.
They don't.
They've been on their
what else?
Social media.
Social media. How so? Anna's got the floor.
Because you're basically looking at, you know, how all the time, like, seeing people that are better than you, you know, like, better than you.
Who gets more likes.
More likes.
Yeah. We don't put the average pictures of ourselves on social media, right? We usually put the best ones up, okay? So we're always looking at the best that people can put forward. And that's always going to be better than what we can put forward, okay? We're always going to be jealous or envious of that. We can be jealous of relationships. Friend B is hanging out with friend C a lot, so friend A gets jealous. They're afraid that that third friend is taking away their friendship with their other friend. Your friend gets the newest iPhone, and all of a sudden your iPhone 4 is, like, way out of date. We can get jealous of our friend's possessions, okay? What are some things that you get jealous of that your friends have? Christmas happens. They're putting pictures up on Instagram of things that they got for Christmas. What is that thing that you're like, man, if only I had that? It's Josh.
A lot of people migrate don't have that
much.
Okay.
You probably like 5 or 6 people.
Okay. Gideon, what would be something you would be jealous of if your friends had it?
No, a copy of the 36 stratagems.
Okay, maybe a book. I know you guys get jealous and envious of your friends. What are some examples? Okay, yeah. So you get jealous of people that get more time on the field. Asa.
I get better grades than you on.
Yeah, better grades. Okay, cheating.
When an orchestra, everybody else can beat you.
Okay, in your music, when they're just better than you. Care about.
When people study for like 10 minutes and get an A on a test,
yeah.
And study for 3 hours.
Nobody likes that person. Say you're the star player on the team, and you're the big dog, and you're hitting all the home runs or scoring all the touchdowns. And all of a sudden, Jack comes on the team, and he's new, and he's scoring all the touchdowns. He's hitting all the home runs, okay? Where's the attention going now? It's going to Jack and not you. There are a lot of things that can cause you jealousy and envy. I want you to think about what those things are for you, because those are things that are going to trigger you to have these types of reactions. Hopefully not to the point where you're throwing spears at people. But you're going to have negative reactions, and we need to be aware of those things, right? It's good to be aware of situations and people and things that frustrate us so that we can face them better. So according to James, what exists where jealousy and envy exists? What does he say? Yes. Okay.
Disorder and everything that is vile.
Yes. Okay, so James teaches us here that living in jealousy and envy means that we will be surrounded by disorder and every vile practice. That sounds pretty extreme, right? That's not like just this innocent jealousy that we can have and everything's going to be okay. Now, James says when you live in jealousy and envy, you're going to live in the midst of just sinful, awful, disgusting behavior. Okay? And the word disorder here is the same word that James uses in the first chapter when he says that, and he's talking about the people that don't have true faith and are doubting God all the time, when he says they're double-minded, unstable in all their ways. So that you're going to live in that instability. You're going to live in that double-mindedness if you're living in jealousy and envy all the time. That will always lead towards detestable practices, a.k.a., Nate, what did you just say? It will always lead towards sin, right? Yeah. We will live in sin when we constantly dwell on our jealousy and our anger, okay? So what kind of damage can jealousy and envy have?
Divorce.
Okay, yeah. Divorce.
Throwing spears at
people, okay? What else?
Breakups, friendships.
Okay, the destruction of relationships. What else? Okay. Yeah. Kidding.
Assassination.
Okay. Murder. Bad things, right?
Addie's trying to tell us.
Yes, Addie's trying to answer
things
for us. Okay, so it can ruin relationships. It can cause people to not trust you. Have you ever had somebody that wasn't able to trust you because of something stupid you did?
Yes.
Yeah. That hurts, right? It can lead towards great stress and anxiety, and it can be incredibly self-destructive. Okay. I really want you to get that across tonight, guys, is that our jealousy and our envy is incredibly self-destructive, and we don't even see the effects of it most of the time. Okay, so let's talk about handling our jealousy and envy. John 6, 32 to 37. Somebody from group 3, read that for us.
Okay.
Caleb, go ahead.
Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast."
All right, so how does the idea of contentment or discontentment fit into this discussion of jealousy and envy? Ultimately, what is your jealousy or your envy telling you? Gideon.
The example is person A and person B.
Okay.
That's all.
Discontentment is what leads to jealousy and envy.
Okay, yeah. So when you're discontent, you don't feel like you have enough. Or you feel like you're not enough. Or you feel like all the things that your friends have, that would make you feel like you have enough or are enough. Okay, ultimately, we get jealous or envious because of discontentment with what we have. We get jealous because we aren't content with what other people have, and we want what they have. Okay. In fact, sometimes we want them to not have what they have so that we can have it. Okay. So not only is it like a longing for something that somebody else might have, but there also might be some ill will towards that person. Caleb's got something awesome, and I want it. In fact, I want him to not have it so that I can have it. Okay? There's a strong discontentment going on there. So in light of that, what is Jesus telling us here in this passage when he's talking about the bread of life? What is he trying to teach everybody about contentment and discontentment?
I mean, he's the only one that can truly bring contentment, so without him we'll always be discontent, just looking for other ways to fill us up, basically, but they'll never be, like, fully satisfying.
Yeah. Have you all ever longed for something and said, "Man, this thing would really make me happy, and I'll really, really like it and enjoy it," and then you get it, and you're like,
yeah.
I think we all have experienced that in various ways. We long for something so much, and then we finally get it, and then we're discontent with it. Okay, so Jesus is saying, be content with me, because I'm the only place you're going to find contentment. Okay? Finding security in the things we have is never going to be enough. The newest phone, the newest games, the best clothes. They may make you feel good for about half a second, but ultimately, they're not going to help you, and they're not going to be good. All those things aren't bad. I'm just saying, if you find your worth in those things, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, find that in me, not in things. Okay? He's saying, I am enough. Okay? Remember, these people that Jesus is talking to here, what were they asking for? They were asking for
bread.
Okay. Jesus did an incredible miracle by taking a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish, and he did what? He fed 5,000 people. Despite that incredible miracle, despite the fact that he's showing that he's God, all they're asking for is more of something that they want. They want more bread. They want their stomachs full. So instead of seeking God and saying, look, I want what he's got, they're saying, give us more of that bread. Okay, we're hungry. Okay, they're missing it. And I think a lot of times when we pursue things, we try to find our contentment in things, we're doing that exact same thing. We know how powerful God is. We know how good Jesus is, but we are constantly looking to things to satisfy instead of him. So what are some practical ways that we can handle our feelings of jealousy and envy that we might have towards people?
Praying
is a good one.
Talking to people.
Okay. Talking to people. Community. How can community help us with our jealousy and envy?
Well, you can talk
to
someone about it.
Okay.
What he was saying.
So in all things, we need to find our contentment in Jesus, and that is a very hard thing to do. I'm not going to stand up here and say that you just have to believe more and everything will be good and everything's going to be awesome. No. There's hard work that comes with fighting against our sin, fighting against our jealousy and envy. But we need to recognize that every good thing comes from him. And the things that he gives us are good. They may not be the things that we want, but they're the things that we need. We can pray and be thankful for how the Lord has blessed others. When you're feeling jealous or envious towards something that someone else might have, pray and say, Lord, thank you for blessing that person with that thing. And Lord, I don't have that, but help me to be content in you and trust in you. It's a good reminder for us that the Lord is working out his will, not our own. I've read a lot from a guy named Ed Welch. I want to read this quote from him. We should not seek jealousy's familiarity because to us we might underestimate its power. Jealousy rises above other notable destroyers and deserves its own infamy. Jealousy is lethal. It's an instigator. And in most murders, if it doesn't kill the body, it at least kills the soul. So jealousy and envy are very powerful. It's one of those sins that we kind of like, you know, put aside and we're like, yeah, it's really not that big a deal. And we don't see how much damage it is doing to your own soul and your heart in the midst of it. So what are the things that fill you with the most envy and jealousy? Maybe it's a specific person. Maybe it's the one thing that you always want but never get. Okay? Maybe on the sports team it's that playing time. Or in school it's those grades. Okay? Why do you think those things will make you happy? Why do we think those things will make us happy? Okay, boom. All right. Amen. Let's wrap up here. We're looking for something to fill that gap in our hearts. But ultimately, that one thing will never fill your heart. It will only delay the inevitable, which is discontentment in all things. Okay? Jesus wants you to seek after him. Okay, Proverbs 14:6 says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy or jealousy makes the bones rot. Okay? The more I think about rotting bones, that doesn't sound comfortable. Okay? If your bones are rotting, what's happening from the inside out? They are dying. Okay? And that's what jealousy does to us. It kills us from the inside. So the more we put that aside and trust in Jesus and look towards him to help us with those things, the more we see life happening in our lives and our bodies. We need the grace of God to take our emotions and place them where they need to be. Okay? He can help you wrestle with these feelings, and better yet, he can transform your heart and your mind as you wrestle with jealousy towards somebody or envy towards somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray, and then we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Lord. We do thank you for how your word teaches us to flee from these things. Lord, it's so hard to do that, but we ask for your help. We ask for your spirit. Please be with each young man and woman in this room, Lord, as they wrestle with their jealousy and envy. Help them to look towards you. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.